Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have many questions I'm going to ask you today. Here's my first one. What do you need for life? Well, that depends on how you actually use the word need. Sometimes we may think, I need this new gadget and this new toy in my life. Sometimes we may think, I need this to happen in my life in order to be truly happy. In those cases, we're actually using the word need as what we want. What we need for our lives is everything we need to keep us alive. Therefore, we need clothing, shelter, food, and drink. And for our spiritual lives, we need God's Word and His sacraments to keep our faith alive. And God has established the public ministry for this very purpose. But what do we need for God's public ministry? Once again, that depends on how you use the word need. Because as members, we may think, I need my called workers to be like this and to do these things. Or sometimes called workers can think, I need my congregation to be like this and to do these things. And once again, we may be using the word need as what we want. So as we look at these words from Acts chapter 13, we will focus on what we truly need for God's public ministry. It says here, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So now here's my next question for you. Do you actually need called workers? Technically speaking, you don't. You need God's Word and His sacraments to keep your faith alive, and that's what you have. You don't need a called worker to baptize your children. You can do that. You don't need called workers to read Scripture to you or to preach a sermon. You can do that. You don't need called workers to distribute the sacrament of Holy Communion to you. You can do that. Well, if that's the case, then why do you have called workers? Well, think about this. That after every service, there was an announcement that said, who would like to volunteer to distribute the sacraments and to preach the sermon for next week? In some cases, you may have nobody who volunteers, and if you force someone, they may become angry. Or you may have everyone who volunteers and you can only pick one or two, and those that you don't choose may become angry at you for that. But our God is a God of order. And therefore, He has called His workers to serve on our behalf, to keep order in the church, and to instruct us about the faith. And God be praised that He makes people willing to be His called workers. When Jesus called His first disciples, God made them willing to leave their jobs and their nets in the boat to follow Jesus. When Elijah called Elisha, God made him willing to leave his family in order to help Elijah. When the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas here, He made them willing to leave this church in Antioch to travel to different places, to different people, to serve them. And that is still happening today, and God be praised. For He makes people willing to leave this country, to travel to different countries, to different cultures, with different languages, to share the Word with them. And here in our country, He still calls His workers on your behalf. It's not like when I graduated the seminary, I picked this church because I like the area and the people, and I handed you my resume and say, please hire me. Rather, God in His wisdom called me here, even though I didn't know this place existed, I didn't know who you were, and I didn't know what this the history of this congregation was like. And when I was installed as your pastor, you welcomed me. Even though you didn't know who I was or what I was like or what my history was. And that's something for us as called workers we are to praise and thank God for. That you are willing to have us here to serve as your called workers. So even though technically you don't need called workers, God in His wisdom has established the public ministry and has given us called workers to serve on our behalf. Which brings me to my next question. What do you need from your called workers? In order to answer that question, let me ask you another question. In your mind, what makes a called worker great? A great pastor, a great teacher? Well, maybe in your mind, what makes a called workers so great is that they were so comforting and encouraging to you. Maybe you think what makes a called worker great is their great wisdom and knowledge and how they were able to answer all of your questions. Maybe what makes a called worker great is their preaching and their teaching. That every time they would preach and teach to you, it was so interesting, intriguing, and engaging. And certainly all of those things are great for God's called workers, that they do encourage and comfort, that they are wise, and that they take their preaching and their teaching seriously. But that's not truly what makes a called worker great. I can assure you that no called worker is great in all of these aspects. So what makes a called worker great? What do you need from your called workers? It says here, the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Barnabas had a reputation of someone of great comfort and encouragement. In fact, Barnabas isn't actually his real name. That's his nickname, and that name means a son of encouragement. Paul was a man who had great wisdom and could answer people's questions. And as they went around preaching and teaching in these various places, the people were intrigued by what they had to say. But that's not what made Paul and Barnabas so great. Rather, what made them great and what the people needed was that they were faithful to their calling. And that's what we need from our called workers, that they are faithful in their calling by encouraging and comforting you with Scripture, by being knowledgeable about Scripture and sharing that with you, by preaching and teaching to you with God's Word. That's what makes a called worker great. That's what we need from them. But do called workers perfectly satisfy this need that you have? Are they always faithful in their callings? No, they are not. Just because they are called by God doesn't mean that God has given them some sort of antidote from their sins. They are still sinners. And therefore, they may fail to comfort and encourage you as they should. It may seem like they give you the cold shoulder. They may tell you, I don't have enough time for you. They may not be knowledgeable about God's Word to grow in their wisdom and to stand up for what God's Word says, because they don't want to deal with certain situations. They don't want to make people angry. They just want to make the people happy. So Sometimes called workers may not take their preaching and their teaching seriously. And they may excuse it by saying, well, it doesn't matter what I have to say because no one's going to be listening anyway. So no, called workers are not perfectly faithful to their callings, nor do they perfectly satisfy the need that you have. And I confess that I have failed as well. And I humbly ask you to forgive me. But that's not the only sin I have to confess. For before I was ever a called worker, I too was a member who had pastors and teachers serving me. Which brings me to my next question. What do called workers need from you and from me? It says here, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. John was with them as their helper. The people of this church in Antioch prayed on the behalf of Saul and Barnabas. They placed their hands upon them in order to bless them and support them. John was with them as their helper. We don't know how exactly he helped them, but what we can notice is that as he helped them, Paul and Barnabas were able to devote their time to doing ministry. That's what Paul and Barnabas needed, and that's what God's called workers need from us as well. They need our prayers. Remember that prayer is powerful and effective. Prayer works. Called workers need us to place our hands upon their decisions and to support them as long as they are in accordance with God's word. Our called workers need our help in various ways. They can't do everything. And that's why God has given you different gifts and talents so that you may help them, whether it seems big and significant or something small and insignificant. It helps our called workers. That's what they need. But now, have we been perfectly faithful in satisfying that need for our called workers? And remember, I'm not trying to stand up here and just point the finger and say, these are all the things you have done wrong. I am including myself in this as well. But we can have all of these complaints about our called workers, and maybe all those complaints are truly valid. And yet we fail to offer up one single prayer on their behalf. We may not place our hands to bless what our called workers may want to do, but instead we may be selfish to have what we want to be done. Then maybe we can even twist their arms and put them in a corner to force them to do what we want. Instead of helping them, we may have the attitude of, I don't respect them. I don't like them. They haven't done enough for me to warrant me to help them in any way. And when we act in this way, what good does it really do? Instead, we are only going against what God's word tells us. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So when it comes to God's public ministry, we see that God's called workers are not always perfectly faithful to the need that you have, nor as we as members perfectly satisfy the need that our called workers have. And so now let me ask you this question. When it comes to ministry, does God need us? No, he doesn't. God's name will always be holy. His kingdom will always come to others. His will always be done. But as we serve in the ministry, we are asking God that we may keep his name holy, that we may bring his kingdom to others, that his will be done among us. And yet, we miserably fail. Because of our actions, we may not always bring glory and honor to God's holy name. Because of our actions, we may have prevented God's kingdom of His grace to come to someone for a time. Because of our selfishness and maybe trying to twist God's arm into doing what we want, we didn't allow His will to be done among us. Here we see our sins. Which brings me ultimately to the most important question. Does God even need us at all? No. Because of our sins, we have separated ourselves from our God. Because of our sins, we do not belong, we should not belong to Him forever in heaven. But even though God doesn't have a need, even though God doesn't need us, purely out of His love, He has a need for us. He deeply desires us. He created us to be perfect and to be with Him forever. And when we fell into sin and separate ourselves from our God, He saw the need for our salvation, and He sent Christ to satisfy that need perfectly. Christ came and did ministry perfectly. He perfectly comforted and encouraged people. He used His perfect knowledge of Scripture to answer any question, even if that meant that people would hate Him, leave Him, or plan to kill Him. Jesus used every opportunity to perfectly preach and teach the people. Jesus perfectly prayed for others. Jesus perfectly placed His hand upon others to bless them. Jesus perfectly helped people with their struggles. And so because of Christ, He kept God's name holy. Because of Christ, He brought God's kingdom to others. Because of Christ, He did God's will in His life. And God's ultimate will was to have Jesus lay down His life. And Jesus did not complain. He did not try to twist God's arm into doing something else that He wanted. But He said, not my will, but your will be done. And since Christ died for our sins, God's kingdom of His grace and forgiveness and salvation is offered to us all, and His name is forever praised. And praise be to God that through the public ministry He has brought us to faith and has given us this good news of our salvation. And so now when it comes to ministry, do we need God? Yes. We need to go to God to ask Him to forgive us. We need to go to God to give us more wisdom on how to live our lives. We need to go to God so that He will bless what we do. And once again, purely for His love for us, God satisfies that need. He forgives us of our sins. Through His Word, He makes us grow in our wisdom of Scripture so that we may know what to do in our lives. He places His hand upon us, and He blesses and assists us in our ministry. Because that is what we need. Therefore, let us give praise and thanks to God that He makes people willing to serve as our called servants on our behalf. Let us praise and thank God that He helps us in our ministry, whether as called workers or whether as members who pray and help our called workers. And let us praise and thank God that He has satisfied the need for our salvation and continues to satisfy the need for public ministry. For that is truly what we need. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.